So moving on, we have three final principles here for effective karma management, new ones to present. First one is called accelerate karma. Why wait 20 more births to achieve spiritual maturity when you could achieve it in 2 births? So accelerate. So the idea is, if we're here and moksha is over here, maybe that's 10 more births, we can accelerate our karma, make it 8, accelerate our karma more, make it 5. That's what accelerate karma means. It goes by at a faster speed. So how do we make our karma go by at a faster speed? Well, Gurudeva explains that through daily sadhana, regular daily practices. So the key in daily sadhana is choosing the right amount, the amount that you can sustain, because everyone's very busy with life, occupation, family, education. It takes up a lot of our time. We don't have a lot of free time for sadhana. So we want to choose the right amount. If we choose too much, we'll do it for a while and we'll give up. We'll say we can't sustain it and we'll stop altogether. If we choose too little, we're not challenging ourselves. It's too easy. We're not making as much progress as we could. So we want to choose an amount that our situation in life enables us to sustain. And Gurudeva also points out doing it at the same time every day is very helpful. So morning is the best time. For a number of reasons, it's the best time to do sadhana for most people. Sometimes schedules don't allow it. But if morning is impossible, at least at the same time every day. That's the key. So we want to do it on a daily basis and at the same time every day. And then what happens? We're accelerating our karma. So different times of life are more conducive to this. So for those who are following the family path, it's traditional after retirement or after age 72, it's called the sannyasa ashrama. Doesn't mean one becomes a renunciate. Just means one does more sadhana. It becomes a primary focus. It's a time that lots of people go on pilgrimage all the time, and because they don't have worldly responsibilities. They've gone through that. Their children are raised, their grandchildren are living, and so forth. So they have more time for sadhana. So retirement is opportunity to do more than play golf. It's a time to do more sadhana. And the benefits are we're accelerating our karma. So, of course, living in a monastery is also a good way to accelerate karma. So I thought of a marketing slogan for that. You know the one, join the army and see the world. So this is join the monastery and accelerate your karma. Join the monastery and accelerate your karma. So it's a good marketing slogan, right? See a little ad, join the monastery, accelerate your karma. I think it has potential. Turn it in for some graphics. So, Gurudeva's comment on that, accelerating karma. By this conscious process of purification, of inner striving, of refining and maturing, the karmas come more swiftly. Evolution speeds up, and things can and usually do get more intense. Don't worry, though. That is natural and necessary. That intensity is the way the mind experiences the added cosmic energies that begin to flow through the nervous system. So, just one comment on that. Sometimes this process is looked at in a negative sense. You know, gee, just want to get this thing over with. You know, this is, life is suffering and I'm not really enjoying things. And, you know, let's get it over with. Let's get to moksha quickly. Get this process over with. I'm tired of being unhappy and suffering and so forth. So that's not the way Gurudeva looks at it. You know, that Gurudeva's motto, of course, is life is meant to be lived joyously. And that means at all stages we try and be as happy and cheerful as we can. So the perspective that Gurudeva had on it is that as we get further along in our spiritual evolution, there's more going on the inside. We have more energies going through the higher chakras. So we're a more blissful, uplifted, wiser person because of that. So that's the advantage of accelerating it, not to get the whole thing over with because it's painful, but to move forward into the part that's more blissful, more wise, more enjoyable. Get there sooner. Moving on to our ninth principle. Our ninth principle is a little subtle. Resolve dream karma. What in the world does that mean? So it's a very interesting point. Gurudeva distinguishes between two kinds of experiences we have when we're asleep. One is what he calls a dream, meaning it's just something going on in our own mind. It's just a replay of impressions we've put in there in the past coming back in a creative way. Now, mind is very creative. You can put different things together in an infinite number of ways, come up with all kinds of dreams based on the same subconscious impressions. But the other kind of experience we have when we're asleep is what Gurudeva calls an astral plane experience. Meaning we're actually meeting other people, but we're in our astral body. So to be able to distinguish between one and the other takes some explanation beyond what we have time for this morning, but Gurudeva gives a few guidelines. You know, if you reach out and you touch someone and they feel real, you wake up and you feel like you've met somebody you didn't know, things like that, you've probably had an astral experience. You've actually encountered other people. You're all in your astral body. So the idea is how we interacted with those other people counts. It's not like a dream where we're only in our own mind. We're actually interacting with other people. So we have to ask ourselves, did we act virtuously? Did we do something we shouldn't have? Just because it was a dream, we might have. We don't have as good a control over our instinctive nature in a dream as we do when we're awake. And nobody's watching. So we may have done something in an astral experience that we regret. So we don't want to ignore it because it has a karma. It has a consequence. It's real. It's just as real as something we do in the physical world. So if we've done something we shouldn't, we need to compensate. We don't want to ignore it. It's possible to compensate in a further dream. You could go back in and apologize to the person, but that's hard to do. You can try, but unless you're really tied to that person, it's hard to end up with the same person. So it's easier to do a penance in the first world, you know, something simple if you did something inappropriate, but to consider it a karma, to consider it real, and not just forget about it. So Gurudeva's summary of that is, these kinds of dreams, when a person is in his astral body and can feel what he touches, emote to his experiences, think and talk, are not what is known as the dream state. This is an astral experience similar to the death experience, but the astral body is still connected to the physical body. So our last principle, the tenth principle, is called incinerate karma, meaning we want to burn it up. Something we don't want, let's burn it up. Let's get rid of it, just like throwing something in the trash and burning it up. So again, a simple way of thinking about it is to compare it to seeds. So we take our alfalfa seeds, if we want to sprout them, we put them in a certain environment, right? Moist environment and so forth, sunlight, and they'll sprout very quickly. So if we want to cause those seeds not to be able to sprout, what do? We heat them up, right? Put them in a frying pan first, and then you put them in that environment and they won't sprout. If you heat them past a certain temperature, their ability to sprout is destroyed, right? We're all aware of that. So karma is the same way. That's what Gurudeva is saying. Karma is the same way. If we focus on a certain karmic seed, if we can find it, and we can be in an intense inner state, the fire of the kundalini burns the karmic seed, so it won't germinate. Sounds pretty good, right? But that's why it's last. It's hard to do. Last but not least, but not necessarily the most important. Unless you're a monastic on tapas. So tapas means to burn, by the way. So the root of tapas is to burn. So one of the meanings of the word tapas is to try and generate enough inner fire to burn up a seed karma and therefore destroy it before it even manifests in any way whatsoever. So how in the world do you do that? Well, Gurudev explains. I'll just read it so we can all have some understanding. A meditation adept, having pinpointed the unmanifested karmic seed, can either dissolve it in intense light or inwardly live through the reaction of his past action. If his meditation is successful, he will be able to throw out the vibrating experiences or desires which are consuming the mind. In doing this, in traveling past the world of desire, he breaks the wheel of karma, which binds him to the specific reaction which must follow every action. That experience will never have to happen on the physical plane, for its vibrating power has already been absorbed in his nerve system. This same type of incineration can also happen during sleep. And Gurudeva summarizes it in this way. He says, it is the held back force of sanchita karma that the yogi seeks to burn out with his kundalini flame, to disempower it within the karmic reservoir of Anandamaya Kosha, the soul body.